Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning. My name is Jeanette Abney, and I want to thank you for joining me here at Precious Predicaments Blog Talk Radio. As you know, today is Tuesday, and on Tuesday is when we have the segment entitled basically From the Altar to the Couch, where we have I'm about to call him doctor, so that means he needs to go get his PhD, where we have Pastor Dennis Stale from Higher Dominion Worship Center joining us on the air as he will be providing biblical teachings as it relates to a lot of things that many of us Christians, whether we are believers or non-believers, struggle as we are enduring our journey during this Christian walk. Now, today's topic, we're going to be talking about guard your anointing. And it's interesting when we start talking about the anointing. So I'm going to log the pastor on right now. So give me a second. And if you can't hear me, please text me. Good morning, Pastor. How you doing?
Good morning. I'm doing very well.
I want to say this. I kind of had a a Freudian slip, and I basically called you doctor. So that means it sounds like you need to go back to school and get that PhD.
Yes.
So it kind of flew out of my mouth. I'm like, where I get a doctor? A doctor Dan Estelle from? But I guess. So
well,
I want to thank you for joining.
I do have an honorary doctorate, but you're right. I do want to go back and get my PhD.
Okay, well, you can get your PhD. You get your PhD, I'll get my law degree, because I need that law
degree.
Right. So, I just don't want to know my books. Okay, so thank you for joining us, Pastor. So tell the listeners who you are.
My name is Pastor Dan Estelle, and I'm with the Higher Dominion Worship Center in the beautiful city of San Marcos. We are in North San Diego County. Our address is 800 West Mission Road. And we can be reached online at hdwc.life. God bless you, and we're looking forward to the show on today.
Okay, Pastor, you can see I had a whole lot of typos, so I'm sitting up here, and I hate to say that I was doing this as I was driving on the freeway this morning because I kind of rolled out the bed because I was exhausted. And I'm looking at this. I'm like, I know I spell much better than this, but I'm noticing that when I transfer it, and all I do is click the button, and it goes from one point to another point, but it'd be all kind of mess on there, and I didn't even edit it. So I'm like, you know what? I'm going to roll with it. It is not going to hurt my feelings because I didn't study Ebonics. So today we're talking about guarding your anointing. And I found that, like I said, a lot of times when you're preaching, some of the things you say you seize on, especially when you're in the spirit. And it's kind of like these are things that people that do not have the ability to come and worship with us, some of the things that they really need to hear, that it's like a teacher teaching, and they keep telling and saying things, and that means this could be a test question. This could be on a test.
Yes.
So when we talk about the anointing, tell the listeners what that actually means.
Yes. So when we talk about that, I want to describe it in a couple of points of view. And so in the simplest form, it's going back to the scriptures where Jesus is saying in John 14 and 16 that he's leaving, but when he is leaving and going back to heaven, he's going to give us another advocate or a comforter. And that comforter is the Holy Spirit. And the works of the Holy Spirit is what we call the anointing. And the anointing now, in its supernatural effect, has different applications to believers. And so what the anointing means is to anoint means to set apart, right? And so we're set apart for the service of God. And then on another definition, to be anointed is to be enhanced or to be superimposed. And what that means now is that gifts that have been dormant, gifts that you have or that you may be using now, are enhanced and advanced on another level to be used not just in the supernatural but also in the natural. And so the anointing in the simplest sense for the believer is to protect your salvation, to protect your walk. And now the anointing, as you begin to grow in God, Jeanette, is to protecting those special gifts and assets that God has given you. And so I believe that all believers are anointed, but I also believe that the Bible said it's according to our several abilities. Not all people have the same gifts, and not all people are anointed the same level. But I can say specifically that Jimmy, who we call the Antidikos, our adversary, is not happy with anyone anointed at all, because to strip us of our anointing is to take away our power. It is to take away our covering, okay? It is to take away, you know, our enhancer. And so if he can strip you down and now have you make it spiritually, you are easy prey. And that's what he desires. And people that are easy prey for the enemy get lost in society, are easily caught up to their own devices, to their own weaknesses. And so that's why it's important for a believer to guard their anointing. We have to understand it and see it as a precious gift from God, something that we have, that the enemy wants to steal, something that the enemy craves from us. And that's what we have to understand it at that level. Are you still there? I hope we didn't get disconnected. Let me keep on in case I think she might have need to log back on again. And so what we have to understand from that is that once we are anointed on that level, we have to protect it. Now, we're saved, we're sanctified, we're moving forth in the Lord. And what we have to understand is from this point forward, in order to accomplish the things that God wants us to, in order to move forward in our purpose, we have to move forward in the anointing or the power of the Holy Spirit that God has given us. Okay? And so I'm going to test something right now. I'm going to test and see if I need to log back in and see what happens.
Hello? Hello, can you hear me? Okay, I guess I'm supposed to be reconnected.
Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to Blog Talk Radio. Please hold and you will be able to listen to the show.
Okay, can you hear me? Okay, I don't know what the world. Okay. Okay, Pastor,
hello.
You know what? The
okay,
devil is a liar. We both got kicked off. And
yes.
You wouldn't even let me go back on. This is ridiculous. But go on, Pastor. Tell them we ain't scared.
No, we ain't scared. I knew it was the system because when I kept trying to log back in, I was like, it was system error. So we're talking about. It's all right. So we're talking about how Jesus left the comforter for us, and it protects us. And what it does also is amplifies the gifts that are in us. Ultimately, it's for us to get to our purpose. And the reason why we need to guard it, because it's the enemy's job or the adversary's job to take it away from us, to strip us, to be naked. And with that, then he can take our goods and use it for other means. He can put us in positions where we're not able to get out of. Also, he can have us be counterfeit of ourselves, be a shell of who we really are in Christ Jesus. And we have to guard our anointing, because the anointing is our counselor. It's our spiritual voice. It's our rock in Christ. It's our refuge. And so all these things are important for the believer, especially those that carry what I would call a life mandate or a mandate, as our supporters. And what's important for us all to understand is that we're anointed at different levels, but everybody anointing is important and has to be guarded, not only because it's a special gift from God, but also because the enemy wants to exploit us. And so we're in there with the opening statement, and then we're looking forward to questions.
And, you know, Pastor, it's kind of what you just indicated when you talked about exposing us, and a lot of times it's also draining, because there is a price that we pay for the anointing. And a lot of times individuals, like I said earlier, they see in us sometimes what we don't even see in ourselves, because we don't know that we got this thing covering us or that is within us. Sometimes people tell us these things, and some people are jealous of that, and you got to guard it because it's actually priceless. And like even talking about even with the power and the Holy Spirit, I mean, even what we just went through right now, where it seemed like there was still callers still logged on, but it was just you and I couldn't get back on. So
right.
It's like we don't want nobody knowing about all of this. You know, they don't need all this information. But we just kept on until we diligently made it happen again. Because the anointing is what brings the yoke of bondage. And that's also in Isaiah 10:27. And it calls those under the influence of the devil to be liberated. And how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and the power. And I want you to talk a little bit about that, because I understand that it's power, how powerful that is, and why it's so important to just guard that.
Yes. Well, the first part of that is that people have to understand that Jesus needed to be anointed for his earthly ministry. I think that is so huge. I think that is critical for believers to understand, because Jesus is our Lord and Savior. And if Jesus coming down, which is God in the form of man, had to be anointed for his earthly ministry, then we have to correlate that to the importance of ourselves being anointed and how important that is. And so we can't begin our day without prayer, without reading the Word of God, without fasting, all these things that superimposes the anointing of God, okay? Jesus was anointed, and so believers have to be anointed as well. And with Jesus being anointed, okay, this blessed him and helped him to fulfill his purpose. The same with believers. But another point I want to emphasize is that the enemy tried to derail him and take his anointing and to stop him from doing his ministry before he even started it. And so that's important for us to understand. It's important for us to see this. Many times as a child, you know, when he was born, they tried to take his life right when he was born. Then as a child, they always try to say, what are you doing and why are you doing this? Even his own family. People won't understand you. They won't understand everything about you, especially those people who understand anointing before they understand things in life. Anointing, as I said earlier in my introduction, needs to be set apart. And there are some people, there are those individuals, there are those ones who are set aside more than others. Let me talk about, for an instance real quick, about Joseph and his coat of many colors. So Joseph had his 10 brothers, okay, all older than him, but Joseph was the one that was set aside with a special anointing. All of his brothers were anointed, Jeanette, because they all were leaders of tribes eventually. But Joseph was more anointed because he was a Goel, and he eventually saved his whole entire family and all of the progenitors because of the position that God ultimately led him to. But to compare that to the point that you made earlier, Joseph went through so many obstacles, so many destructions. You know, even his own brothers, his own half-brothers tried to kill him. and they were jealous of him. Then other people who he shared gifts and helped came back and did not help him. And then even Potiphar's wife, who, you know, had a lust spirit towards him, and he rejected her, and then she scorned him as well, came after him. And even in prison, when he helped those other people, they did not help him. And because he was so anointed, he faced such counter, you know, spirits along the way. But because he was diligent, as you said earlier, he made it to his position. Okay, two things. God gave him enough anointing to be able to withstand all of his tests and his trials. Okay, that's important. And then number two is that God blessed him with enough anointing to have the right spirit to go through all of that and still not have hate in his heart. That's powerful.
Mm-hmm. That is definitely power. Because even in our families, even on our jobs, even no matter where we are, and that's why I'm going to talk about this walk and this Christian walk, when you know who you are and whose you are, that makes a big difference. Because like I said, when you have that, because the Holy Spirit will lead you, it will guide you, it will not forsaken you, and it will give you that extra boost that you need. Like today, like I said, you're calling in. I got all these computers. I got like three ways to log on, and none of them was working. I got computers, iPad, laptop, all this stuff right in my face. But God going to make sure we get this message out, because there's many of us out there that have gifts, that have talent, that have the power of the Holy Spirit, and we need to guard that, because there is so much evil and demonic stuff out there that's trying to rob us of that. And we need to be aware of that. And, you know, and I know that within this time that we had, it kind of messed us up a little bit. So when we start talking about, and even it talks about in John, 1 John 2:20, and it says, but you have the anointing from the Holy Spirit one, and I mean from the Holy One, and you know all things, the anointing reveals to us to walk this thing out. You have to be aware of the attempts to rob you of your anointing. And when we talk about these attempts, many of us, we get distracted very easily. You know, whether it's food, whether, I know, like with me, I don't want to go play blackjack, and I got to stop that too because they get on my nerves. But these distractions, let's talk about how we can guard it.
We have to guard ourselves by, first of all, dispelling some myths. So the first one is that the anointed life or Christian life is a boring life. And the reason why a lot of believers are led into things that they shouldn't be is because people are not excited about what they have and not understanding that that's a part of human nature also. And so they go seeking on the outside. And that's what happened to Samson. Samson was so anointed, so blessed. He was a judge, which meant that he was a ruler of people. He was already a prince and a king, had a great position. He could have anything he wanted, but he looked upon what he had because of the influence of the enemy as being boring and not wanting it. So he tells his parents, I don't want what I have. He didn't understand what it was. Then he tells him, I don't want to marry, you know, within my people because I don't find any of these women attractive. And so he finds himself going to what God has rejected. And I hope people heard me say that, because anything that God has rejected, we shouldn't be chasing after, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And so we eventually know his downfall, but we oftentimes don't talk about how attractive the enemy can make what God has rejected with good to our fleshly side. And because we haven't enhanced our spiritual side to have more than a balance, we often look upon that, okay, and we chase after. And you hear people saying all the time, I'm bored. I need something else in my life. That's because they have not enhanced and don't really understand the power of what they really have. We have many instances in the Bible where believers have given away their birthright, their blessing, their anointing, not understanding what they really have until it's too late. Because what the enemy will do, he will strip you, he will expose you, and you'll be like, I wish I had this, I wish I had this. And the Holy Spirit, your mind, your soul will remind you, you had all of that. You had everything that you needed. God had you set up in the right place. God had you going in the right direction. And You were beguiled by the enemy, tricked. You were bamboozled. And that's why we have to guard ourselves. When we learn to love the things of the Lord, when we learn to have an appetite for the things of God, to thirst for the things of God, it puts us in a more powerful position to understand what we really have. Because the Bible says, he says, my people perish for lack of knowledge and not understanding that we're chasing after something that we already have, and not just that we have, but what we have is so much better.
You know, Pastor, I'm looking at something, and not only, like I said, knowing and understanding why we need to protect it, and not to the point to where we become paranoid with our protection, but also we also have to understand not to compromise the anointing, because a lot of times we compromise it. Because I know when I was a kid, I used to ask my grandmother, how do I know these things with nobody ever giving an answer? And that used to piss me off when nobody, I had to figure it out. And I'm still working on that. But when you talk about compromising, and before the anointing was passed on by the horn of the oil, it was passed through by the laying of hands by the Father in Genesis. We talk about that. But let's talk a little bit about compromise, how some people compromise their anointing as if they're not even aware of what they're doing.
Yes, well, this has been the subject of many books lately and on Christian talk shows and a lot of messages that are out right now. It's about what we're calling this new age Christian or the carnal Christian. And what we have to understand is that anytime a believer loves the world more than they love God, they're going to fail. Anytime we have a believer that thinks that they can live two lifestyles, it's not going to happen. God tells us you can't have two masters. You're either going to love one and hate the other. What happens is that when God begins to tell us how we're compromising and where we're coming up short, then we get angry and we feel that people are judging us and people are trying or in our business and these types of things. And this is God's way of giving us hints where we're falling short. And what we have to understand is that the Bible tells us that God is a jealous God. What that means is that he wants all his praise. He don't want to be shared with nobody. He doesn't want us compromising. What a compromise does is not make anything run right. You know, for instance, if your car takes unleaded gasoline and you think you're going to compromise and put diesel in it because, you know, you want to save a few dollars, you're going to mess your engine up because you just put the wrong type of fuel in it. And it's the same thing. Try putting some product in your hair that's a compromise. You're going to have a mess on yourself. Try compromising with skincare things. And what you have to understand is there are principles, there are rules, and there are guidelines, and I call them the law of nature. And what they do is they fall in place because just as there are certain reactions with different chemicals, okay, there's certain reactions within the spirit world also, and that's what we have to understand. And so here's a good example of compromise is that the believer knows how powerful prayer is, Jeanette. They know what prayer can do, okay, but they haven't been praying. They've just been going through the motions, and now all of a sudden they're in a situation where they need God's help, okay? They have not been praying. They have not been storing up power. They have not been fasting. They've been compromising, okay? Mm-hmm. And so now a situation comes where they really need to pray, and then they don't see anything happening.
Right.
And the enemy takes full advantage of them. Go ahead.
We have a caller on the line. Let me log on this person because they've been waiting for a while. Hi, this is Jeanette Abney. Welcome to Precious Predicaments Blog Talk Radio. How are you doing? Number last 232. I guess
I'm good. I'm doing good.
Okay. Do you have any questions or anything you want to add in regards to guarding your anointing?
Not just yet. I'm listening right now. We had some difficulties earlier, so I just got back on. So. I'm listening.
Okay. We were guarding. I got everything around me. I'm guarding all of this. I'm like, get away, get away.
Yeah.
So we talked about this, because I had to with your parents. I was like, you've been talking about guarding your anointing quite a bit. So I think that's what we need to talk about. So we definitely need to be on guard, especially with today's times and what's happening in our churches, what's happening in our communities. And people got to stand up because and stand out and just be okay with who you are and who God has made you to be. Because even when we start talking about the anointing, and a lot of times also not only compromising, is we also need to not be ashamed of the anointing. Because, Pastor, some people are ashamed. And one of the things it talks about in Psalm 20, verse 6, it says how not only with, not just that one. It talks about, now I know the Lord's face is anointed. He will answer him from his holy heaven with saving strength of his right hand. But also more powerful that I find is in 1 Chronicles 16:22, and the saying, touch not my anointed one and do my prophet no harm. Meaning that with that comes covering. With that not only comes the spiritual guiding and discernment and all these other things that come with it, but just the protection to know God got you. Let's talk about that for a little
bit. It's important for the believer to understand that, because so many times we always say it's this person, it's that person, it's this institution, that corporation, and this thing. And what we have to understand is that God has our back. God has given us complete protection. And so the enemy's trick with that is to lead the believer to be themselves the one who actually let themselves down because of fear of an outside entity. And so we must always pray and not faint, because we don't know how the enemy is going to assault us. You know, the Old Testament tells us no weapon that is formed against us shall prosper. And so what that tells us is that weapons are being formed, okay? Haters are out there. People are going to come against us. But what it's also telling us is that it shall not prosper. And so we know that there's going to be attacks, there's going to be situations. But for the believer that doesn't compromise, for the believer that is doing what they're supposed to do, they will be protected. And God gives us very simple things. Communicate with him. Have a relationship with him. Read the word of God and understand it in knowledge. Study to show yourself approved, a workman not ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And so when we do these types of things, you know, showing the fruits of the Spirit, these are all the things that we're doing that are guarding our anointing, and it gives us the power to see what the distraction really is. And so, like we said, you know, the distraction can come in many forms, and the longer we're a Christian, the more we mature, you know, the easier it is to see these things, as long as we're practicing what I call spiritual and godly lifestyle habits. And so, when we learn to do those things, we become stronger and stronger in the Lord.
You know, Pastor, I know we and some of us, I was in sports. I used to coach. And when I'm thinking of protecting, I'm thinking of basketball. I'm thinking of what am I protecting myself from. I used to always say, you know, when you talk about an offense and a defense, if I'm guarding someone, if we're talking about football, you got offensive line, you got defensive line, you got all these different things going on. So it's kind of like if you're telling a person to guard something, they don't know what they're guarding and who they're guarding it from. So we talked about haters. We talk about the devil. We talk about enemies. I have some information. I'm going to throw these out there because I'm going to let you choose. I know we got a little time. But they got what's called temple spies. They got the lookouts. It talks about understanding the difference between a hater and a spiritual assassin. And we also got to know what the assassins are like. What do they look like? So who are we on guard from? But if you talk about the devil, we ain't talking about just a man with a horn and a red suit. You know, we could be talking about people in our family. We could be talking about our boss. We could be talking about a whole lot of people. So what are the assassins? And then we can end it with, why are we the chosen target?
Well, again, I want to, you know, the believer that's in tune with the Lord can understand that any time they hear a voice, and I'm going to emphasize that, anytime they hear a voice that speaking against the opposite of truth or God's word, that's your devil. Okay? You know, Peter was Jesus' most outspoken disciple, and yet there are times when he openly disputed with Jesus out of love. And Jesus had to rebuke him. And Jesus called him Satan one time. Satan, I rebuke you. And Peter's like, why are you calling me the devil? And so what happens is we have to understand that. We can't get so caught up in people that we can't see when a person is being used by the enemy. Okay? And that's real important for us to end that. It's real important for us to get from the Lord. And the other thing is that seeing that, loving that person, rebuking them, but learning to cover them also, because it's worse when that person is not knowing that they're being used by the enemy. We have Job's wife also. When she told him to curse God and die, you remember that in the Old Testament? And Job said, woman, you a fool. You're talking foolishly. And so what happens is the enemy has become so slick that he attacks us with people who we have relationship with, family members, loved ones, people on our job. And we have to be careful, because that's the difference between a spiritual assassin and a hater. A hater, you know, a known enemy, okay, I understand that. That's your relationship with me, hater, right? But a spiritual assassin can be a hater, but also can be someone that you have good fellowship with. And that's what we have to understand. And then it's also in the time of the setup. A spiritual assassin is sly. They're sneaky. They are subtle. And we have to see it coming from a mile away. I had some people who have, you know, planned for months and years to attack me. You know, different ones that come in as your brother, come in as your sister, come in as your helpers. They come in saying, you know, but I've learned now from some senior pastors and other people, soon as someone comes in talking about, I'm here to help your ministry, I'm here to take you to another level, then that's when you have to tell them, now sit down, because God would have told me first. God would have. God knows what I need, you know, and you learn how to interpret that and how to understand those words. You listen carefully now, and it's not that you don't trust people. It's just that you trust God more.
All right.
Okay? Yes.
And, you know, I was looking at some things. I was trying to find a text message because it was crazy. My cousin has already passed, you know, DeAndre's father. He had sent me a text message, and it was a long time ago, and I was trying to find it, and for some reason I can't. And before he passed, he sent me this text, and it said, he was talking about my last husband. He said, I saw this, and I thought about you. He said, where you been all day? It's Sunday. You've been gone all day. Put Jesus on the phone. You know, and it reminds me of things. You can be with, and they may be afraid of your anointing. They may be intimidated by your anointing too. And that can also cause problems. And it talks about letting your light shine, but then we got to be mindful of that, because we have something that a lot of people are striving for and they don't know how to get it. And we got to appreciate value.
Let me interrupt you real quick, because you just reminded me of a very profound story. Just take a quick second. For the next question, I have a friend who is a nationally recognized evangelist. And if I said his name, everybody would know him. But he told me a story about how it was so hard for him to get a relationship because ministry was first. He finally met a young lady. They fell in love. And he was so in love with this young lady. And she supported him so much. And the young lady had such a power on him, she told him, I have to break up with you. And he was mad and didn't preach for a month, and he didn't understand this. And finally, when he talked to her, he said, girl, you broke the heart. Why you do all this? She said, because I see where I was leading you. I saw where I was leading you, and the Lord had to correct me. And this woman said, I didn't want to be the instrument of the enemy. And he said, as much as it hurt, he knew that she was right, and he had to get out of that relationship. But what he recognized was that woman had him weak, and he would have compromised in some areas. But the woman heard his ministry enough, knew his preaching enough to recognize the fact that she didn't want to be that person.
Correct.
And it grew her spirit. And that is just so powerful.
Mm-hmm. It is. And, you know, we find that with a lot of people, too, because they can see it, and they'll just give you that look. And that's a whole other area to preach on when we start talking about that, because we talk about being equally yoked, but then we also kind of miss that point when we're talking about our anointing, how we have to be careful with that. It can cause problems. And like I said, and that goes back into the spiritual assassin. It's like, what do that mean? A lot of times we miss that because we do get distracted. We get weak. We become sidetracked. And I can go on and on and on, but I'm going to let you do it.
Well, it's important to understand it because what happens is, let me say this way for the listeners, and if somebody has an issue with it, they can take it up with me. But we do have what we can call people that have spiritual big heads. And God begins to move on them in such a way they get anointed and they get the big head. Do you follow me,
mm-hmm.
Jeanette?
Yes,
and what happens is that you know, you can become a national wonder and then become a local blunder. And then you embarrass yourself, you embarrass your church, and you embarrass God. And we have to be careful of that because the anointing is powerful and strong. God will use a willing vessel. God will use a humble spirit. But then people will seize on that, and people will want to operate that. As a person begins to make a name in ministry, as a person begins to earn a reputation in ministry, doors open. And there are local doors, regional doors, national doors, and some international doors. And as these open, we have to understand that we owe more to God. Mm-hmm. When we become at that level, and we have to guard ourselves and guard our anointing more. And it's not that you are closing yourself off to less people. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is that you have to learn how to use discernment more and learn how to have this circle around you be people that are invested in you and you invested in them. Because the more anointing, God is going to use you to touch the lives of more people. But what we have to understand is that as we touch the lives of those people, we move on because we have other assignments. We can't get lost on individuals. We can't get lost on specific assignments and different things. We have to understand how God is using us, the way God is using us, and how God, you know, desires for us to be used at a specific time and place. And so that's important too because the enemy can set you up with success. Okay, we have to learn how to swallow, how to hold on to, and how to deal with success. Because we can overwhelm ourselves, all right, and not have balance, and then that causes us to have poor judgment.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. And you know, Pastor, you kind of took me in two different directions because when we're talking about success is one thing and getting a big head, especially with our anointing. But then also when you was talking about the assignment, and sometimes that assignment, as we are anointed and God have us on a mission to do things, sometimes we get caught up with that. Because I know a lot of you guys have been asking me, where is Keith? Where is Keith? I'm like, hell, I don't know where Keith is. Keith disappeared. You know? And it's interesting because when he came into my life and the way, knowing that he'd been knowing me since I was 13, but there were things I didn't know. But I didn't know if that was an assignment or if that was supposed to be something else. But I knew it was supposed to be an assignment. I knew that. And then once the assignment was over, you got to let it go. And sometimes we struggle with that because we think, well, they're a good person. They this, they that. But this was an assignment. It wasn't meant for you to be doing all of that. And so learning and initiating that is where the Holy Spirit comes in, too. And he knew that too.
Yeah.
Like with my mom. It would be my mom's, would have been her 70th birthday. And I knew that there were people that came into my life that was an assignment for me to to elevate me, to get me to a certain level, and they had to break it off with me. So now I'm like, okay, now I'm out here, and I used to always tell my mom, I used to say, well, keep your friends closer, your enemies closer. I learned, you're my enemy. I don't want you around me.
Yep.
You're my enemy. You know, I can identify you. I can spot you because of my discernment, but this could be dangerous.
Yeah.
So we have to listen to the Holy Spirit also with that anointing.
Yes. It's important. I want the believers to understand that even when people won't make room for you, your gift would make room for you. And we don't have to assassinate. We don't have to crowd into someone else's space. God has enough for all of us. And so that's another part of guarding our anointing, is not being envious and jealous of someone else's anointing, and not trying to imitate someone else's anointing. Be your original. Be original.
Yeah.
Be you. Be you and be who God has created you to be, and that protects your anointing the best. Be authentic. And so people may not like you, but we're here to please God and not people. And the Bible says if you do all your best to please God, people can't help but to respect you. That's the important part. Go ahead.
We are trying to emanate, or we want to be like so-and-so. You can't be Sister so-and-so or Pastor so-and-so. That's not who God meant for you to be. And we have to also stay in our lane.
Yes, very important. It's important for the believer to know that, because there are many snares just within the church. And I've known this, but I heard it again the other day, that the enemy's job is made so much easier because saints are tripping over saints. And what I mean by that is that we are looking at each other. We are fault finding. We are, you know, I remember early on in my ministry, Jeanette, when I was in my early 20s preaching and, you know, going to Bible school and God blessing me. And there was a young preacher who was working on his doctorate, but he was more of a teacher than a preacher. And I was a preacher and becoming a teacher. And my gift was speaking before people and having the charisma and having the power to persuade through the Holy Spirit to do this. This young man didn't do this, but this young man was a gifted teacher. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And I preached under the Holy Spirit one Sunday morning. People came to, they were saved, moved, and up to this point in my ministry, this was one of, I believe, the most powerful impact that God had on my life in his service, where young, old, middle age, you know, just the Lord moved all over the whole building and church. Then the Lord allowed me to lay hands. It was my first time doing that in ministry. And when I was done, you know, my pastor pulled me aside and he, you know, hugged me and he told me, way to let God use you. And then, you know, gave me my tips and pointers, which a pastor should do, a good pastor. And I'm receiving information from the people who we've laid hands and prayed for, and I'm tired. I'm ready to get to my car. I get outside the car, and I run into this young man. And this young man, he was about 4 or 5 years older than me. He had written down my entire sermon from start to finish, Jeanette, and he circled. I think it was at least 40 times that I had said amen. And he says, amen, 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 amen. He goes, you got all of these, it's grammatically incorrect. It's this, it's out of order. You only have to say it one time at the beginning, this and that. And I started to get angry. And then my wife said, come on, we got to go. It's late. So I got in the car. I didn't have time to get angry. The Lord didn't allow me to get angry. And then when I got home, I had to prepare for work the next day, and then work was so busy. And then when I seen this individual again Wednesday night at Bible study, the Lord had already rebuked him because what he heard in the message he needed.
Mm-hmm.
And the Lord, it every time I tried to get upset, I didn't have time because something happened. And so that spiritual assassination that you're talking about was that instead of me focusing on how God had used me, you understand? Now this mm-hmm. was a redirection to try to tell me how I need to preach and do these things. And so I learned that was a very, very powerful lesson
mm-hmm.
about critics, about people in the church, about how they will not see what's happening, even though God is moving in a powerful way, because there's
mm-hmm.
envy and jealousy within the body of Christ.
Mm-hmm. And you know what? And it's funny how you said people trip Christians, tripping over Christians. They tripping over faith. That's funny. But it's so true, and it's something that we miss. It really is. And I could truly say, too, even with the radio, because I never thought I'd be a radio person and doing this kind of stuff. And I remember when I first started putting the information out, people was like, well, you have a master's degree, and you misspell these words, and da-da-da-da-da. And was critiquing me. I said, well, you know what? If you want me to send it to you, you can edit it and put it out for yourself. But it's
interesting.
When I put stuff out and I press the create button, it goes into a word all on its own. So I'm like, I did not like that. So
yes.
I don't even pay no attention. And even when I get the stuff on Facebook, I still will say it because it's something that somebody wanted to say, but they're afraid to call in and say it. Well, I'm
well, let me help
to
you.
Step out.
Yeah, I want to help you real quick because I learned that grammar and spelling is a gift, and
mm-hmm.
more and some people are better at it than others, and people will try to put requirements upon your degree that aren't there. That has nothing to do
mm-hmm.
with your master's. And
mm-hmm.
what people don't understand is, you might know this, some people may not that are listening, but Albert Einstein didn't know basic math.
Sure didn't.
And the reason why was he said that it's so basic, it's taking up brain space. It's
mm-hmm.
taking up space. He could do things that other people couldn't. He could think outside the box and create equations and solve issues and problems. That was the most important thing. And
mm-hmm.
and see beyond numbers, okay? And then you have somebody telling him that you don't know what 15 times 14 is. But that's not going to solve, a great issue in life. And that's how people get caught up. I went to church one time. We were preaching, and I did what a lot of preachers don't do. When we were rolling and we had the large numbers, even when I preached somewhere, we still would take 30, 40 people, Jeanette. Remember that?
Mm-hmm.
And
yep.
the reason why I did that, and I told my people too, when you get there, don't be stingy. Bless the church. See, a lot of pastors, and I'm saying this on the radio, will go preach by themselves because they don't want their members going to another church, seeing it. They're trying to hog members. And then when they do have the people go, they tell them how to give. And,
wow.
and we never did that. We never did that in ministry. So we would always show up in numbers. We wouldn't take what we call the show choir, a few people just to come sing. We'd take our mass choir. We'd always go in numbers and go and preach and go and help churches. And we went to this church one time, and our people who went was just, three times their membership at the time. We went there, and we left a lot of money and blessed them. And one of the associate pastors came outside and saying, I can't believe you came all the way down here, Pastor, to preach, and your car this dirty. And so, see, people will miss the mark, and they don't get it. They don't understand. They don't see the blessing,
Mm-hmm.
And those are the things you have to – we haven't brought that word up yet, but the last two things I was hitting to is ignorant people.
Mm-hmm.
Ignorant people will attack your anointing. Ignorant people,
mm-hmm.
you have to guard yourself against them because they don't see the big picture. They don't understand the move of God, the work of God. Most of all, they don't understand the sacrifice that the anointed people are putting forth to bless someone else, to sow into someone else's ministry, to sow into someone else's life. They don't understand that it takes time. We prepare for this show. We prepare for the radio show. We prepare to teach. We prepare to minister before people. Even sometimes when we're running and we're running late and we come in and then God gives us stuff on memory to help people, that still is prepared because we got years now where we've been practicing our craft. You understand?
Yep.
You know, we've gone to school. We're learning. We're trained. You know, I've written mm-hmm. over 2,000 messages, and then I have another 100 memorized in my head. And people don't mm-hmm. know that this is from doing something from since you're 15 years old. And so people won't respect that, but you have to guard it. You have to know how precious your gift is and your gift is and how it helps and how it impacts people. And this morning on my way dropping off the kids, God said, the anointing spoke to me very clearly and said, bless him. And I do not give money to people on the road because I've seen the stories. I know the horrors. I know this. I ride right by them. I pray for them. I say a word of prayer, Lord, lead and guide them. But the Lord made me stop and bless this young man. And when mm-hmm. he came to the car, I seen his eyes. You know how we are about germs, Jeanette. I touched him, laid hands, and prayed. We don't touch people. You know how we are about. but he was broken, and he looked at mm-hmm. me. And when this happened, the Lord showed me all his gifts. And this gifted man, and in that instance, I said, you ain't going to be here in 2 years. In 2 years, you're going to be back where you need to be. And he cried. And because I understood in that short of time how much pride it took him to be where he was asking for money, you understand? But this wasn't a bum. This was just a gifted, anointed person down for a season.
Wow.
And the Lord showed me that.
Wow. It's interesting you said that. I don't know if you remember the day when I brought the homeless man from Fullerton to your church where
yeah.
I had teacher picked up. And someone told me, I was in the group last Saturday. They said, Jeanette, I found him. I saw him, and I told him he was looking for him because I haven't seen him in about 3 years since I relocated in Fullerton. So they told
mm-hmm.
him where I was. But that is true. You got to be careful with that because with your anointing, you're good. But you use your anointing to protect and bless people. But, Pastor, where can the people find you? Give them that information. And, I mean, we made it happen with the show. And I also want to thank you for yesterday, too. You have no idea how you poured into that man's yesterday. I appreciated that. But like I said, I know
praise
how to stay in my lane. So
praise the Lord. God is good.
Okay.
We are the Higher Dominion Worship Center. We are located at 800 West Mission Road in the beautiful city of San Marcos. Most people know we relaunched the ministry a year ago. We are steadily growing. We looked good last Sunday. We would love to see your faith. You can reach us online also at hdwc.life. Our agenda is Christ. We're not looking to entertain. We're looking to lead people to Christ and to mature believers in the Word of God. God bless you. Thank you for this opportunity to share with you on today. We look forward to seeing you at Bible study Wednesday night at 7:30 p.m. and also at 12:30 on Sunday for our morning worship. Thank you.
Pastor, I'm telling you now on the radio, so it won't be next week. You won't see me sneaking in church because I'll be with T.D. Jakes. So it ain't nothing personal, okay?
God bless you.
I got to go see what I can learn at this convention, okay? So,
all right.
Just let me know what you want to talk about, and we will put it out there. So until next week,
remember, right.
You got this. And thank you for joining us here for another episode here of Precious Predicaments Blog Talk Radio. Take care. Bye-bye.
God bless you. Bye-bye. Mm-hmm.